When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, we're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance, we got action,
romance.
We got comedy, we got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance, what part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches, and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Alright, so come on down to, wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know. Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, we are talking about Trancers, a.k.a. Future Cop, from 1984, as picked by Scott. Scott, sick. I mean, I got some ideas, but why'd you pick Trancers?
It's a Christmas movie.
Of course.
Yeah!
I would say it's more, I feel like it's more of a Christmas movie than Bloodbeat last week's Bloodbeat. But
yeah, and the funny thing is that this is more of a Christmas movie, but less talked about as a Christmas movie.
Let's talk about it as a Christmas movie, and is, of course, Christmas in Los Angeles, my favorite place for Christmas movies to take place. Not a snowflake to be seen.
it's Christmas year-round there, apparently.
Yeah, and I would have loved if they focused on a little bit more Christmas in the dystopian future that is Los Angeles, which would have even less snowflake, like even less of a possibility.
Dude, L.A. was underwater.
L.A. was gone.
Yeah.
L.A. was underwater.
Yeah. I had to.
Lost Angeles.
I've watched this movie 1.5 times, and the first... The both times I watched that scene where he's swimming and there's there are skyscrapers in the ocean now, I was like, oh, New York. No.
No. It's the few skyscrapers from downtown Los Angeles that they somehow were allowed to build.
Yeah.
Earthquake proof, I guess. I don't know.
So, Scott, I was thinking of you specifically when I pulled this one trivia fact because it's so ridiculous. Actually, there's... There's one I didn't write down that's one of the dumber IMDb trivia facts I've stumbled into in a while, but it says, at the time of Trancers' release, one of the marketing assistants who had just started working for Empire International Pictures was future actor Greg Kinnear, and Trancers was his first film that he was assigned to help promote for the studio. 13 years later, when Kinnear became a full-fledged actor, he would co-star with Helen Hunt in As Good As It Gets.
Which I talked about... Five months ago, I guess.
The film in which Helen Hunt won a Best Actress Oscar and Greg Kinnear was nominated for a Best Supporting Actor Oscar.
That's wild.
Also on the craziness that Helen Hunt is in this movie.
She's not just in this movie. She's in the next movie in the franchise, too.
Jesus
and so
Christ.
Is Megan fucking Ward. What was in the water in 1992?
So, well, I can explain a little bit of that,
too. I love how it's
eight
years between these films.
Is it really?
So,
I think Helen Hunt's still in it?
Yeah. Like,
what the fuck was she doing?
In 1993, she was doing...
Wait, if it was 1993, this is listed as 85, so it was almost a decade later.
That's crazy to me.
So Trancers was released in the UK in 84, late 84, and then in the US in May of 85, if I remember correctly from the wiki.
What?
So but it's considered an 84 film. When I was looking at the franchise info, I'm pretty sure it said that the next movie came out in 92. So
91.
Okay.
August
of 91. So let's just call it 7 years. 7 year difference.
That's still bonkers.
And they still got Helen Hunt.
And to me, Helen Hunt is already like a fucking is she not a star at that point?
No, dude. It took until Twister in 96, right?
Oh yeah. My god.
So the other fact that made me laugh out loud was that it just said Helen Hunt yells at Jack when he attacks Murray. Helen Hunt also appears, or was the co-star of Mad About You with Paul Reiser, where they had a pet dog named Mary. And I'm like, great work.
I fucking hate
great work, IMDb trivia.
I hate those. I hate those specific types of trivia, like where it's just a thing about one thing, a thing about the other, very thin connective tissue that is actually truly not that fucking not cool.
I didn't even click into the sequels until y'all said that there were six of them, because now this has thrown off my what did I watch, or not the, my what did I watch this week, what would be my double feature, completely into a whole nother realm because I'm so confused. But it says the film received a direct-to-video sequel in 1991 called Trancers 2, The Return of Jack Death. Additionally, Trancers, The City of Los Angels was shot in between the first and second film. It was a 20-minute short that was shot as part of an unreleased 1988 anthology film called Pulse Pounders, but was released separately on DVD in 2013.
Yeah.
It's on Tubi.
Yeah, I saw that was an option. It's listed as Trancers 1.5.
Yeah.
I did not watch anything else in this series. Just so this was my first full watch, and I don't know if I could make it through another Trancers. I mean, this was an enjoyable watch for the show, but I don't think there's no more blood in this stone to be squeezed out.
So
no.
Scott, you might appreciate this.
Subspecies
Pulse Pounders. I just clicked into Pulse Pounders because it had its own wiki page. Pulse Pounders was the 1988 American anthology film that would have been directed by Charles Band. The film is composed of three 30-minute short films, two of which were sequels to Trancers and The Dungeon Master.
Oh, God.
Wow.
The third is an adaptation of H.P. Lovecraft's The Evil Clergyman. Pulse Pounders was originally shot in 1987 and 1988 with the intent of being released, but was shelved due to the collapse of Empire International Pictures.
Of course.
I wonder, oh my God, so nothing has
Vinegar
been,
Syndrome
has
will
been
release
released.
It, don't worry.
Oh, well, no,
work print was discovered in 2011 and was digitally remastered. The Evil Clergyman segment received its world premiere showing at the Chicago Flashback Film Weekend.
The
movie was received with mostly positive reviews. HorrorNews.net even stating that the movie was a must-watch for any Reanimator fan.
Oh.
And that it didn't quite live up to Reanimator, but was still quite good. The Evil Clergyman was later released on a DVD by Full Moon Pictures in October of 2012.
Okay. So here's a question. Does Full Moon own all of the rights to Empire's movies?
Basically, yeah, because Empire was Charles Band's first company that collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he literally started Full Moon the next year. And I feel like part of his filing for bankruptcy and then starting this new company's plan was to buy as much of the Empire hits as he could get his hands on.
I never thought about it. I knew that Empire collapsed and he immediately started Full Moon, but I just never thought about that overlap there.
I feel like, how do you pronounce this dude's name? Tim Thomerson, who plays the main character in this.
Oh, Jack Death.
I feel like him and Charles Band have a pretty good working relationship because he shows up in a lot of his movies later on down the line after this. And I feel like I remember, like, he was in Zone Troopers the next year. I feel like I remember when I used to be a diehard dude hanging out on the fucking Full Moon message boards and all that stuff. Like, he was, this is a weird comparison, but like, he was what like Johnny Depp is to Tim Burton. Oh man, another Tim Thompson thing. Because like, this dude was in all of the Trancers movies. He was Doll Man.
Was he Doll Man?
Yeah,
he was Doll Man. He was in Bed Channels. Like, there's a lot of overlap with him and Full Moon Pictures where he just like kept coming back to do more and more. And like, this dude, not that he had like a major career by any stretch of the imagination, but like, you also scroll through his IMDb and he's like doing guest appearances on Sabrina Teenage Witch, and he's appearing in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Like, dude was at least getting hired for bit roles, and he's far from a terrible actor, even by comparison of the Full Moon stock of actors. Like, he's clearly a little bit better than most of them. So it's
he's doing the damn thing. He really is. And what, like, he, I mean, as far as like the level of what Trancers is when you need a future cop to then also work well in the 80s. In like he fucking, he did it. Like he, Jack Death on paper is who Tim Thomerson like looks like. Like they typecasted him perfectly. Is like whatever, like because they did a whole comic series too, and he feels like a comic book character. Like
this is a very comic book movie.
It's like yes, it's and it
you know what I don't think it is, though? It's not much of a horror movie.
No,
this is firmly a sci-fi action from Empire Pictures and Full Moon.
Are you upset about that? Does it not fall into
we've talked about wanting to do more sword and sandal stuff, and I feel like the occasional sci-fi action movie. Perfectly, like this totally makes sense thinking that this is coming from the same production company that was doing shit like Arena. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, is Arena a horror movie? No.
Dude, we need to do Arena on the show. Arena, really...
I know we blew it on a Patreon episode. That was not the right
call. I don't
even
remember talking about it.
Do you think the patrons are going to care?
I'll do it. I'll fucking do it.
Especially since we almost have 30 of them at this point.
I'll see you at the arena.
You guys know VCR of Death, right?
One of my favorites.
I'm pretty sure that account did a little shot from Arena within the last week or two. And I was like, damn, Arena is fucking great.
It's so fun.
It came up suggested right after Trancers on Tubi.
Hey, like, it's on Tubi.
Fifth one in. Yeah.
Speaking of the Tubi of it all, because we all watch this on Tubi, you'd think that me being the Full Moon fan that I am, that I would own all six Trancers films. But
or even
Full
Moon
experience for me. Tubi, because of Tubi, I got a beautiful ad letting me know that there is a Journey and Toto concert coming my way.
What?
Which I'm like, you know what? That's probably a kick-ass show that's out of my price range.
I don't know. Dude, AFI is coming in a couple weeks by the time this drops, they'll have passed already, but they're coming and tickets are like $50 per person for standing room.
That's not too bad.
No, for them and one opener, fuck that.
Yeah.
AFI made my favorite punk record of all time, and I'm not paying $50 to see them live in 2022.
Yeah.
I think the Journey in total is probably not that expensive. That's what I'm getting at.
I'm curious because I feel like there's a lot of hits between those two bands.
No, dude, they got to keep that mysteriousness. Someday. Yeah.
Do they just sound like the record, or do they like fucking?
Well, when I saw Journey 6 years ago, they sounded quite like the records. I think that Neil Sean, because it's the Neil Sean show.
Do they noodle?
Neil Sean noodles. Noodle Sean is what I want to call him. If I remember correctly, he's the last remaining original member of Journey. It's fine. Whatever.
The cheapest tickets to see them in Allentown, which is the closest venue, is $87 a ticket.
You can't. You can't.
No, fuck that.
You can't do it. We won't let you.
I also just want to check. Okay, so if I go to the Boardwalk Hotel in Atlantic City, it's $50 for the cheapest tickets.
But then you have to go to Atlantic City. Yeah, exactly. No.
You got to be paid to go to Atlantic City.
It's the Journey Freedom Tour 2023 featuring special guest Toto.
Well, yeah. Is that co-headlining? Or would you consider Toto?
No, there's no co-headlining. Toto's three hits. Journey's like a greatest hits album, at least.
Bro, listen. When I saw them, they played for close to 90 minutes.
Mm. Yeah. That's what I mean. There's a good. I think people forget how many Journey songs they know and love.
Oh yeah, and they play every single one of them. They started their set 6 years ago with Only the Young, and I about crapped my pants. I was so excited.
It's a great song.
And they ended with or before their encore, they ended with Be Good to Yourself, which I could not have expected. If you would have put a gun to my head, then like, what's the song they're going
to just play the 15 tracks off the greatest hits album like on shuffle? They're like,
basically, right? And then of course they ended with Any Way You Want It. They do have a new record out this year, if I remember correctly, so they will be playing some new stuff. They'll play like two songs off of it that no one's going to care about, except for the 50-year-old drunk ladies who are like Neil Sean.
All right, so we've done a great job so far, 15 minutes in, to not talk about Trancers.
Oh, wait, I do have one important thing to bring up. Did anybody else see Brian Kelly's cameo?
No.
It was at the punk concert. It was Lena's ex. It fucking looked like Brian. to me.
I can see him, but I didn't see Brian in him.
I immediately saw Brian.
He immediately got smacked in the fucking mouth by the worst time traveler I've ever seen.
While Jingle Punks was playing in the background.
Yeah, and Matt was like, he was talking to me about what I need to prep for the Geekscape.
Which I think will actually be happening the day after this episode comes out.
By this time, I will have done a couple, like, metal-ish jingle or Christmas songs. And he was like, it's because of you that this came to mind. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I listened to this punk rock version of Jingle Bells in a movie you picked, you idiot. And I'm like, really? I watched that scene. Yeah. I did not skip that scene. No. I watched Jack Death punch a punk in the mouth. I heard awful music in the background. And I did not catch that it was Jingle Bells at all.
It took me half the scene. It took me half of the scene. Maybe when they cut to the singer actually singing.
I saw that part. I did.
Know. I don't know how. I mean, that was the only.
I'm not questioning how you caught it. I'm questioning how I didn't.
How you didn't catch it. Yeah. I'm concerned for you.
It was real
bad. You're
good.
You're usually good at that.
It was
stuff.
Really, really bad. But I do have to say that Jack Death is, as I said, the worst time traveler I have ever experienced in a movie. But he is also the most out of control son of a bitch in the game.
He is, dude.
That's a Twister reference for all you youngins out there, because Helen Hunt was
in
Twister 11 years after this. The best line of this movie, though, he's like putting so much oil in his hair. And she looks at him and she goes, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Dry hair is for squids." And it doesn't. What's a squid? Like,
no, we haven't even learned that yet.
Are you talking about the sea creatures? Because one, they don't have hair. Two, they live in the fucking ocean. Their hair would never be dry. So
the dude's clueless. The dude's also 300 years out of wherever we are, right? 300 years? Because it's like 2227 or something was the fucking year.
Let's just say 250 years.
Yeah, so squids could be what we think of as fucking like saber-toothed tigers. It's like we kind of know what they look like, but we don't really.
They're like dinosaurs. They're dinosaurs. Where we're like, do they look like birds or not?
Yeah, and it's like, she's like, squids? Like the fucking calamari? That went like, we'll go to Venice Beach. We can figure it out.
It's like, 10 miles away.
Yeah. Oh, I loved when he tried to pronounce Cahuenga. It was a
Matt Kelly moment.
Yeah, this movie was full of like LA jokes, like right when he, like the first 20 minutes that he spends in Los Angeles was written to be like, LA is crazy, isn't it? Like, it was, you know, it's all it was written for. And he really is. He's the worst time traveler, and he has all the ability to go to and fro. And like, so he has the safety net. He has the safety net to not fuck it up, and he fucks it up. Fucks it up so bad,
dude. Banging Helen Hunt once just gonna make you stupid.
Yeah, well, and he didn't even experience it the first time he fucking, because he got sent back. Then we cut back to post-coital.
Post-coital, yeah.
I find it so random that they do send him back to the future for like 30 seconds and then bounce back into 85.
They send him back to go and slap him and then send him back.
They gave him another watch, though. Isn't that when they gave him the second watch?
Yeah, that's it.
Also, that was a long fucking 10 seconds, all right?
Someone broke down the math of that shit with the bullet. Like, for the bullet to be going the speed a bullet goes, and for him to slow that thing down to 10 seconds, they got about 55 seconds out of that fucking watch. Mm-hmm.
Charles Band knew what he was doing, because that felt like 55 seconds to me.
There was a line that made me chuckle, because Helen Hunt plays a punk, and man, perfect casting, because when I think punk,
she's got a little
bit
of blue hair, dude.
Yeah, she has a little bit of blue in her hair. And the little boy goes,
"Not even
do you
new
have
wave.
Blue hair?" And she goes, "Because it's cold in the North Pole." And that gave me
this
a smile.
This is like the multiverse
gave me a little smile
origin
and a chuckle.
For Silent Night, Deadly Night. The kid sees Santa freak the fuck out, and then he's like, "Naughty,
naughty, naughty."
You could put these movies together perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. No, this is like the Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, is you just remove all of the Silent Night flashbacks and put scenes from Trancers.
Somebody get on that. I'm not putting that 50 minutes into my day.
Yeah, but somebody else. All right. Can.
So do we have anything else we need to say about Trancer, aka just Future Cop?
This is such a Christmas movie because there are the three wise men who are literally just drunks, drunk homeless dudes. I loved that. And then I really have to say that my other favorite part of this movie that doesn't exist in the movie is the review that I read from Neil Gaiman saying that he enjoyed it. Like Neil Gaiman enjoyed it.
There was someone else. I want to say like James Cameron liked it enough that he recommended some of the people in the movie to like other filmmakers. Jesus like, hey, Christ. I saw this movie Trancers. Somehow this gets compared to like I've read multiple things that are like it's like a pseudo Terminator movie. And I'm like,
I saw
I
that
don't
too.
Get
I
Terminator
just because
at
it's,
all in this.
It's just because it's time travel and it was a year or two after Terminator. I mean, it's no Shocking Dark, I'll tell you what.
No, fuck, dude. It's no Shocking Dark, for better or worse. I had this thought while I was watching it, and it's irrational because I'm a horror movie fan, so it would be against my own fucking thoughts. But I was like, I don't watch a lot of science fiction because I can't have that suspension of like good science fiction. I need like the proper suspension of disbelief, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of it doesn't have it for me. And I understand how silly that is to say as a horror fan. I do. I hear that completely, especially the shit that I watch. But like science fiction does not do it for me. Like if I can't, and I don't want to think too hard about it either. Like I just need you to present me with the whatever made up shit you've said, but you need to do it cohesively and a lot of and if you can't do that, then I'm not fucking in. And that's a lot of science fiction. I don't know. So Trancers didn't get
me
really.
Here's I wanted to check the whole fact here. So it was James Cameron reportedly enjoyed the movie and began recommending Danny Bilson and Paul DeMeo for different for various projects. Now, how successful that was is up for debate. Their career, if you look at like what they've written post this, they wrote Zone Troopers, which I've said is not very good. They wrote Arena. They wrote The Wrong Guys. But the big one is that they're the writers of The Rocketeer from 1991.
Oh. Bro, you know why that makes total sense? And I really wish that you hadn't said that because it would have been a perfect double feature is because Future Clothes in the 80s is just 40s clothes on drugs.
Yeah,
that's all it
and
is.
They're most... This is also pretty insane. This is the most recent, their most recent film that they wrote was The Five Bloods, the war drama that Spike Lee did in 2020. It's Chadwick Boseman's last movie.
Oh, wow.
Like,
the fuck?
It was like an Oscar contender written by the guys who wrote Trancers, which is crazy. But yeah, the one guy went on to write a lot of video games. So he wrote some TV and video games, including like a 007 video game. And then they also wrote for the 90s Flash TV series, Viper, and the Sentinel 90s TV series. So they always kind of stuck with either crime or sci-fi, it looks like.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
All right, Scott.
Hello, everyone. We're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance. We got action.
Romance.
We got comedy. We got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance. What part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches, and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
All right, so come on down to... Wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
What's your double feature with Trancers, besides the obvious options of Trancers 1.5 to 6?
And The Rocketeer. I really wish that I had known that because I would have stuck with it because The Rocketeer and Trancers is just, it would have been a delight because I fucking love The Rocketeer.
Any excuse
to watch that movie. But I was going to go with Existenz, Cronenberg, because they feel kind of similar in the idea of like jumping into different bodies. That was kind of where my brain went with it. And I feel like that would be a good night because I love Existence. I feel like we need to do it on the show eventually. It's Cronenberg, so I mean, no one's going to be like, oh, you can't do that movie on this show because it's horror adjacent and it's pretty gooey. So, of course, I like it.
I incorrectly assumed that all of the Transfer sequels were produced by Empire. I just thought that in classic Charles Band Puppet Master style, he was just making one a year. Mm-hmm. Because my double
That's
feature
not true?
Was, no, my double feature was Doll Man, because I was always under the impression that when Empire fell apart, he lost the rights to Transfers and just immediately made a brand new movie called Doll Man that is so close to the same plot line, it's insane. Because Doll Man is about a guy from a space cop from the future who has to travel into the past on Earth, but when he does, he shrinks down to being a foot tall.
Oh, that's crazy. And his name's Dath Jack, right?
It's Brick Barlow. And I would say that Doll Man has a little bit more horror vibe to it, just because like the main villain is just a head that floats on like a giant, like almost Roomba in the sky, like a sky Roomba. But also, beyond all of the other things that we said that Doll Man has in common with Transfers, it also got its own comic book series.
That's right.
Hell yeah, bro.
That's right.
Was it Dark Horse? Because I feel like Dark Horse did all of the shit in the 90s.
Eternity Comics.
I was going to say Eternity.
Don't act like you knew that.
Oh, I had it on Horror Finds. That's the only reason
Eternity
I knew.
Comics that, the Eternity Comics that collapsed in 1994.
Yeah. I know nothing about Eternity Comics other than they did the Transfers comic. That's literally those facts go hand in hand. Know nothing else.
Man, I feel like such a moron for being like, how'd you know that?
No, it was fine. Because otherwise, you'd be right.
Eternity Comics that brought us such brilliant comic books as Dark Wolf, Dinosaurs for Hire, X-Mutants.
Oh, I loved it. I love Dinosaurs for Hire.
The I Love Lucy comic.
What, in 1992?
The Ninja Funnies. The Phantom of the Opera comic book.
Oh, really?
The Plan 9 from Outer Space 30 Years Later comic book.
Wow.
Robotech, the comic book.
Oh, Robotech.
And the Three Stooges, The Knuckleheads Return.
The Knuckleheads Return.
What a
in
weird
comic
fucking
book
time.
Form.
The early 90s, with their obsession with the 40s in all senses of things, is just, I'll never understand it. You know, like when they did the Shadow movie with Alec fucking Baldwin.
Yeah. And this thing only lit. This company was from 86 to 94. They didn't get a full decade
of
publication.
Yeah, they did Puppet
going.
Master, because I had Puppet Master 1 on the shop. And then they did one called Monster Frat House, which I had for fucking ever on the shop. And I was like, somebody's got to buy it.
What? I would have bought that.
I know.
That sounds
know.
Very Matt to me.
That is a very Matt.
I should have just sent it to you.
The bigger question, though, beyond what Eternity Comics put out was, Kyle, what would your double feature be with
yes.
this movie?
I would choose I Come in Peace, a.k.a. Dark Angel, or vice versa, however you like it. It's just
Angel
it just
Dark?
Seems like Angel Dark? No, Dark, which I don't know which one's the actual
title. Oh, sorry. When you said vice versa, I thought you were saying that it could be any one of three titles. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. No.
I was not being facetious or cheeky.
It's fine. I've never heard of it. It's funny. I never think that of you, Scott. I never think that you're being facetious.
I love that for you.
So don't. Yeah. I haven't even seen that movie, and I went into Transfers blind, only knowing the vibe of the comic and the posters and mm-hmm. the many a sequel. I Come in Peace is the same thing. I know that Rutger Hauer looks like some sort of futuristic fucking weirdo, and I just feel like I don't know. It just feels like Vibe Central for me on this one. So
it's fine.
I'm gonna go with that.
I accept it. We accept it.
One of us. All right, Scott. What did you watch, read, listen to, etc.?
Am I supposed to be literate for this show? It's horror movie night.
You are the highest picker of written works.
Says the guy that's read every Goosebump book multiple times.
Yeah, but I don't talk about it every week on the What Did I Read This Week?
Very true. Well, so I am still waiting to discuss Hellraiser 2022, but someone has not finished it yet. So
Helen Hunt.
Hopefully, Helen, H-U-N-T. So instead, I'm going to, while we wait, hopefully that my Christmas present, hopefully my Christmas present will be that we get to discuss Hellraiser 2022. In lieu of that, I'm going to mention that I watched a another Full Moon picture that came up on Shudder when I couldn't sleep the other day. Head of the Family.
Oh,
awful.
So first time watch?
Let me ask you this question, Scott, because I feel like this is one that we've considered, will we watch this for the show?
No, it's not.
I always thought it was too boring and slow.
It sucks, dude. It sucks.
It doesn't hold up to the premise. The promise of the poster versus what you actually get in Head of the Family is so upsetting.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
You get everything that's in the poster. It's just not as fun as it seems like it would be.
Did you learn anything new on this watch, Scott?
I learned how to fall asleep.
It put you to sleep perfectly.
It's just so dumb.
I bought that movie
dumb.
At a fucking grocery store and immediately turned. I was like, I don't know.
Did you horrifies it?
No, it was pre-horrifines. No. I don't know what I did with it.
It's
but
still
it's
on
gone.
My shelf downstairs. But
that doesn't
like,
mean anything, Matt.
Yeah,
we've
it's
established
not one
that
I'll watch.
You owning something means
sit on that
shit.
Shelf. I forget who I said this to, but I'm like, there's certain movies that sit on my shelf for no other reason than if someone says, hey, have you ever heard of a movie called Head of the Family? And I can say, here, you can borrow it.
Like, I think you've said that to me literally about Head of the Family. I feel like we've had this conversation. Yeah.
Or no, you know what? Maybe it was during the live stream when I said it about Requiem for a Dream. That Requiem for a Dream sits on my shelf for no other reason than if someone says, hey, have you... I've been meaning to watch Requiem for a Dream, and I can just say, here, take this.
And I don't have a library card. Can you help me?
Who doesn't
you
have Libby in 2022?
Libby. I was going to say it's not Overdrive anymore. Now it's Libby.
Yeah. All right. So I was actually scratching the surface on, like, I don't know what else to fucking talk about, because a lot of my watches lately have just been, oh, it's Halloween time. Let me rewatch some old favorites.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think I brought up that I, for 3 weeks, was obsessed with yet another Netflix reality show, which was the Netflix return of The Mole, which I think I told Kyle about, but I don't think I've talked about
Megan
on the
show. Oh,
Megan
likes that show. Yeah, she watched it, too. Yeah, no, she didn't watch a lot of it. She watched some of it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I would say the biggest strike against this season of The Mole was that as soon as someone told me, I'm pretty sure it's this person for this reason, I immediately was like, yep, that's who The Mole is. I've been told that other seasons past, I'd never watched the show before. I just watched the Netflix revamp of it. Sometimes it's a lot harder to kind of figure out the mystery of The Mole. But basically, for those of you who don't know, the very short version is like, think Survivor, but that there's an additional contestant hired by the producers to make sure that they fail their goals and not have a giant pot of money. And the only way to stay in the game to win the money is to constantly be correct on who you are suspicious of being the mole. And if you get too many questions wrong at the end of each week when they're asking you who do you think the mole is, then you get eliminated for having the most questions wrong about the identity of him or her.
I mean, they really should have called it the leprechaun, because you said something about a pot of gold and I just... That's all it is. Why, I'm a leprechaun! Why, I'm the mole!
But yes.
You'll never be able to learn my name.
But yeah, that was my fun little thing. I'll also just say, because we're doing the leprechaun thing, 91 Donkey Lane's Christmas or Halloween episode this year was them ranking all of the leprechaun movies.
Are they
also
zero?
Giving their letterbox star ratings, which ranged from a half a star all the way up to their number one movie in the Leprechaun franchise that gained a full star, which was the first one in the franchise.
I love those guys so much.
Oh, shit. Brutal.
But Kyle, take us home.
I'm really behind. So I'm just going to give a shout out to a filmmaker buddy of mine named Dylan Young, who not only was down at Knoxville, but he had won an award for his short, The Kid's Revenge, which I just watched before I got here, which is, I believe he did it as the trail, like they have a trailer competition down there called Grindhouse Grindout, which is open for all filmmakers to like, it's it's not a 48-hour film project, but it's one of those things where it's like you have to do it in a really small amount of time. And he did a fucking great one. It's like a revenge Western that he did, where the effects are fucking great. All this to say is that he was a good dude, and I asked him to send me a program from Knoxville because the Woodsman played down there on a fucking crazy stacked day, which I with the day ending with Society by Brian.
Oh, Hanna. Yeah, that's right. I did see that on your Insta.
And he sent me a program so that I could keep it, but he also hooked me up because he runs, not only is he a filmmaker, but he runs a company called Video Nasties LLC, Nasty, N-A-S-T-Y apostrophe S. And he was like, pick something from the shop. And I didn't know what the shop was. I went and he does some great t-shirts. He's got a Hobgoblins t-shirt.
Oh my God, Hobgoblins.
He has a Herschel Gordon Lewis pin that he sent me. And he also sent me this Pieces shirt. So for the patrons, you can see the Pieces shirt. Oh God, no you can't. There it is. No you can't. Never mind, you can't. You can actually just go to Video Nasties. Just look up Video Nasties LLC. His web store will come up. But he's got some really, really rad shirts. They're comfy too. I mean, t-shirts are not cheap anymore. No. It's a great quality and the design's dope. The design goes all the way down the shirt. Like it's like an inch from the hem at the bottom. And I just fucking love. I just love the almost all over front print.
I have a love hate with those shirts. I love when I'm wearing them. I hate when I'm selling them and trying to awkwardly fold them in a presentable way on a table.
I do want to mention
another stacked place where the Woodsman is playing is if you're listening to this episode on December 8th, which is the Thursday night that it comes out, on December 9th, at a time to still be determined, the Woodsman is playing as part of the Geekscape 3rd Annual Live Stream Spectacular for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Coastal and Northern New Jersey. There's a bunch of posts probably in the Horror Movie Night Facebook group. There's probably even a live stream happening within that very group on Friday. Keep an eye open. The schedule will definitely be posted by the time you're listening to this episode of when that is playing. But Kyle, thank you again for graciously giving us that gift for this one-time screening only, because we are going to re-edit the live stream to remove the short film from the live stream and re-upload it after the fact. So, yes.
Thank you. No, I'm happy to do it. I loved being part of that for years before, and to have the short play there. It's very cool. So I'm all about it.
Yeah, I'm excited. All right. Well, that was Trancers. And next week, the Christmas train comes to a stunning halt.
Choo-choo!
For my pick next week. And then...
pull that emergency brake, motherfucker.
We'll be right back on the Christmas train for a little bit.
In the
bit.
Middle of the
we're
desert.
We're going to be on the train for a while, actually.
Just waiting. Yeah, we're not going to get off the train after Christmas either. But just keep riding this train with us for the next couple weeks here at Horror Movie Night.
Hello everyone, we're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance, we got action,
romance.
We got comedy, we got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance, what part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches, and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Alright, so come on down to, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.